Welcome once again, my friends, to the Irish in Sweden podcast. And today we are coming to you live from the Arrivals exhibition. Carrie Cook is sneaking around in the background there. She doesn't have a microphone just yet, so we'll get to her as she sneaks off again. But I am with Sarah Galligan. Sarah, how are the nerves at the moment just as the exhibition gets underway?
They're coming in waves. We finally arrived, so there's a bit of relief in the sense that the art is on the walls, everything's in place, and the artists are here. I will be saying a short little poem later, so I am feeling a bit nervous about that. But yeah, feels good that we finally arrived at Arrivals.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's going to be
There's a lovely buzz.
There's a good buzz, there's a good vibe. A room full of creativity.
Mm-hmm. How stressful has it been? Because you were telling me that just before we started recording that you have the van, the rental van parked outside. Were you driving around collecting art off artists the whole day?
Like I did, we started at 8 this morning. I picked up the OKQ8 van and off I went to Carrie's house, picked her up, and then we had to pick up Maria Murphy has a fantastic painting, which is 150 centimetres. So that was one of the main reasons we needed the van. And it was just the responsibility in transporting such a fine, expensive piece of art.
That was
the most stressful.
Yeah, you're kind of set up for both comedy and tragedy when that happens.
But, you know, Carrie's very experienced, and between the two of us, we took a few deep breaths and took one step at a time, and we got here.
With
a little bit of help from a lot of people along the way.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of helping hands.
It's a lot different to how, for those who haven't been in the Ambassador's Residence before, we're just looking over Humley Gordon here. It's a very, very big apartment. But everything has changed now. The dining table is still here, but more or less it's just art hanging absolutely everywhere here now. You know?
We've transformed the room within one day.
Yeah. Did you get to come in here and plan this out, or was it when you arrived with the van that you sort of went, where do we put all this now?
I think I said the last time, myself and Carrie, we came for one visit a few weeks ago, and we measured the two rooms and we did out a floor plan and looked at the walls and spaces. So we were able to map everything out before we got here, and thankfully things went mostly according to plan.
Was there any surprises, any last minute surprises?
There was a few small things that went wrong along the way, but
let's not focus on them now.
Everything worked out in the end, and we were quick to find the solutions, and like I said, we got a few people to help us. Sophie McCormick, one of the artists, is very experienced as well in curating and exhibiting artwork, so she had a few good tips for us this morning when she came to hang her own rooms.
Yeah.
So she helped us a lot.
Let's go over this way, because I saw your paintings just on the way in and I was fascinated by them already. Is there only one painting with your name on it here? Yeah, because some people have two or three.
One painting, and then I have an assemblage, which is like a mixed media piece made from recycled materials.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we're looking at the painting now. GAA Season on the Horizon 2024 is what this piece is named. And you mentioned here that winter evenings have inspired thoughts of playing camogie in the summer sun. And as I'm looking at here, is this globin in the background, or is that the moon, or what is it?
It's a slither.
I really am the stupidest person in the world, aren't I?
No, it's globin. It is globin.
Thank God for that.
So that's my view from the apartment. And just remember looking at globin and thinking, geez, the camogie's taken over Stockholm. And globin looks like a huge slither. And I just had that vision. And a few evenings during the winter, I looked out the window at globin. And I just had that thought in my head, it's a giant slither. So it was getting me through the long, dark winter, thinking of getting back playing the camogie.
Be back out in Scoutneck now, serving up for that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece of work. How much time goes into something like that for you? Is this something you can knock up in an afternoon, or does it take you a long time to get to?
That was a few evenings. I would say it took maybe 10 hours.
Yeah.
But I have a full-time job, so it was very much going in to work early and doing a bit before I started, doing a bit after work, my day off.
Yeah.
So it was very much around my work. But I I just committed to making the time to do it, because I think before I would have been like, I'm working full time, I'd like to be more creative, but I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
And then I just changed my mindset and said, use the time that you do have, do something.
Mm.
And then you'll make more time for those kind of things.
That was going to be my question, right? Would that exist if this exhibition wasn't happening?
No.
It wouldn't.
I put the pressure on myself and I wouldn't do it again.
This is it, first and last time, that's it. You know?
Yeah.
How does it feel to be so involved in both the organising of it and exhibiting yourself? Is it a bridge too far? Is it a little bit too much? Are you happy that you did it?
I'm happy that I did it because of the experience I got out of it, what I learned. But I don't think I'd do both again.
Yeah.
Maybe if I had some pieces that were ready to exhibit and I was organising an exhibition, I might put them into it. But I don't think I'd try to do both at the same time again. But I don't regret it, but I've learned so much.
We're terrible for creating trouble for ourselves between playing camogie and making art and organising exhibitions and having a full-time job and everything else like that. All I can say is I'm delighted that you took this upon yourself to do it, because just being here after all we talked about and the amount of times we talked about it on the podcast, it's just amazing to see this. And I want to congratulate you and everybody else, and I really hope that everybody enjoys it. We'll talk to you later on.
Thanks for all your promotion and happy
life. Anytime. Carrie, we just spoke to Sarah Galligan there. We are at the Arrivals exhibition here. How is the pulse at the moment?
It's pretty up there. It's been a busy day, I'm not going to lie.
Hello,
it's been fun. Hello.
I'm just on
top of
the
billiard. Molly's on the podcast again.
She can't
Molly works on the podcast. They can't keep her out of it. Well, at least for another week or so, maybe, you know. So has it been a very stressful day? Because Sarah was saying that you were off collecting art at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
We were. Sarah driving a massive big van around Stockholm. I was very impressed. This woman has so many skills.
Unbelievably talented. How has it been? You expected?
It's been great. We were fairly well organised. We did have a lot planned. A couple of things didn't go quite to plan, but we were able to switch things around to make it work. Everything's up.
We've decided not to focus on the negatives here today. We're not going to do that.
Nobody knows what the original plan was.
It's kind of like, I often said that about musicians when they're playing on the stage. Oh, I played a bum note. As long as nobody notices, nobody cares. Like, you know? So, tell me, what are you exhibiting yourself here? Can we go over and look at it?
We can
wander over here. God, there's so many other people here. I believe there was no tickets left. There was people mailing you today and can't get in.
Billy, did too good a job.
This is the thing. So I hope none of them is a listener to the Irish in Sweden podcast. But there you go.
They'll have to come to the next one.
Exactly, yeah. We'll get on to that soon enough.
So I have three pieces showing this evening. All textile works.
Yep.
The first is called Swans in Flight, which
beautiful.
Is a work ECAT. So the motif of the birds is woven into the...
Okay, so this isn't printed on. This is
in. It's the birds are painted onto the warp before it's woven.
Wow.
That's why they have this sort of they're in movement effect.
Is that a very difficult technique to get right? Because I'm looking at this going, I wouldn't be able to do that kind of thing. Is how many versions do you kind of have to do before you get it right? Is it the sort of thing that you can get right first time, or is it?
No, I tend to do a lot of testing.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I do lots of little small tests before I begin a bigger piece.
Hmm. And do you annoy yourself doing that? Is it one of those things you go,
I've made the error before of thinking I knew what I was doing and going straight into the big piece, and then you get a surprise.
Yeah.
So it's always better to test first, take the time.
And when you test now, it's quite a large piece, everything is relative, you know, but would you test on something like the size of a hanky, or would you do something like that?
I'd set up a small warp, and then I would test weave a few pieces in different variations before I would start the bigger piece.
There's going to be a lot of people around now, you know, we're coming into the summer now, and these are more sort of, you know, maybe indoor projects for later on. How did you get into doing things like this? Was this just something you went, you know, you saw somewhere and, I could have a go at that? Did you do a course? How did you get to it?
Well, I went to school here in Stockholm. I went to Handler Bethesvenner, which is the oldest textile school in Sweden, I believe.
Yep.
And I did a 3-year qualification in textile handicrafts, so embroidery and some other techniques, but mostly for me was weaving.
Yeah. You loved it. Did you find it hard to, the actual sort of practicalities of the handiwork? You did?
For sure, because although I've been an interior designer for a very long time,
yeah,
I hadn't really made anything myself since I was a child. So it was, you know, or ever since a teenager, maybe, when I used to make a lot of art.
Yeah.
So it was quite nice as a grown-up to come back and do something with my hands and work with a different part of my brain. Mm.
Did you find it sort of completely new to what you did when you were a teenager? Was this like, you know, because the medium is different and that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I did a little bit of textile work as a teenager with some batik and things like that, but mostly I painted and drew.
Yeah.
But the textiles for me, kind of as an interior designer, I've got a real thing about textiles.
Yeah. This is a milestone event today. It's the first Arrivals exhibition. It was put together, and of course we have to be very grateful to you as well, because I think this was part of the sort of the a support package from the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Sweden as well that sort of made this possible. Maybe they rented a van and that kind of thing. You know,
they did, yeah. A bit of van rental, a few other bits, yeah.
Do you expect this to continue now? Because I can't get over how fantastic it literally looks like you walk into a gallery, despite the fact that this is where the ambassador lives. Do you think this is something we'll be able to repeat in the future, or are both yourself and Miss Callaghan going never again?
No, we're talking about the next one already. We've been thinking about what we do differently, how we change it up.
All right, as I say, we're not going to focus on the negatives, we're not going to focus on the future, we'll focus on it now. What do you hope for from this evening?
I really hope that this is a new part of the Irish community here, that we've now connected all these artists together who maybe didn't all know each other existed, and to work together to put on shows is so exciting. I think it's really lovely for people to meet artists. Hopefully more people are going to come out of the woodwork in the future, more Irish artists, because I've had a few people already being like, oh yeah, maybe I could do something next time. So
there you go, a roaring success, a sold out first exhibition, and we'll see if we get anything sold. But for now, Carrie, thanks very much for talking. Billy the Kid, how are you keeping?
I can't complain, you know, rose up late to my own party, but here we are.
That's the most Billy thing ever. Come here to me. I'm looking at this. I've got a couple of fascinating pieces of work here. Do you want to describe for the listeners what we're looking at here? Like, because this basically looks like an enormous cork board that you've done a painting on. Is that right? Is that a fair way to describe it?
It's made of cork, as far as I know.
Yep.
It's something I got secondhand from the first art studio I started working at.
Yep.
They said they're going to throw it out. I was like, I'll have that paint, I'll see what it's like to paint.
Yep.
It's a piece that kind of spawned from nuttiness. I play around. A constant theme, as the listeners can't really see, but is clouds, reds, and corkboards.
Yep.
So I start there and then see what I feel from there. And play around with everything, you know?
The whole idea of recycling something that somebody's going to throw in the bin, does that appeal to you, giving something new life, rather than throwing it in the tip?
Oh, of course. The reason I like it so much is because they've seen these pieces as temporary, and so they're thrown away. And everything on a grander scale is temporary, so art itself is temporary. All these people go out and buy expensive canvases to make these masterpieces. I don't know if I'll ever make a masterpiece, but I'll paint something that's been thrown away and give it an improvement, or what I think is an improvement at least, you know. So I like the fact that it's temporary, and it plays into the fact that everything's temporary and plays against the preciousness.
Billy, thanks for talking to us. We have a speech coming. Here's Healy. Nobody puts baby in the corner, as they said in Dirty Dancing. But here we are in the corner. What have you got in the corner for us here, my friend?
I've got some engraved jewellery. Some very large pendants, hand engraved, silver and copper, and they're depicting some kind of. They're called memory maps, I think, if I remember the name. And yeah, they're just. If you get close, there's just a lot of stories in them.
It's very intricate looking work altogether. Does this take a long time to put together, Piers?
Oh yeah, each piece would take about 5 weeks to engrave. Now you wouldn't work a full day on it, but you take breaks, you know. But yeah, it's pushing a little steel tool. It's hand pushed, and it just takes. It's kind of a dying art in one sense, but in another sense, not, because there is a couple of people still doing it. Yeah. But not too many.
Not too many.
Not too many.
Does that make your artwork very exclusive, Piers?
It does, I would say so.
You must be a millionaire.
No, that's why I went back to teaching. But I still make work, so that's why I'm here, I guess.
They're beautiful pieces altogether. You're working with art here as an art teacher in science.
Yeah, I work art teacher, but also I teach in America, and this summer I go to Penland in North Carolina, and I teach hand engraving.
Yeah.
And then later, sometimes I teach in Lexan.
Yeah.
What do you get out of teaching contra actually producing the work yourself? Do you feel like you're passing on this very old form of handcraft?
I think it's, that's part of it. That's a small part. I just love the entertainment, the meeting people and the stories. And it's really, I guess I just love meeting, you know, oddballs. So kind of.
On that very subject, what do you think of the rest of the work here this evening? Have you had a chance?
I haven't had a chance because I met an oddball from Donegal and I've been locked in the corner here. Just so
Right, we do our best to get the car back to chair in this corner. Thanks for talking to me, Pierce.
Thank you.
We are meeting artists here to beat the band, and the latest in a long line of fine artists is Kieran. Kieran, what's your surname?
Hi, Kieran Doyle.
Kieran Doyle, where are you from?
Bray. In County Wicklow.
Bray in County Wicklow. We won't hold that against you.
Yeah.
I see Molly Breen and her partner Matthias are over there looking at your picture, so we're not going to disturb them just yet. What have you brought with you here? Is it four paintings you have on display?
Yeah, four paintings, all based on landscapes in Stockholm, or cityscapes in Stockholm. So all of this, like buildings and sites that you see around Stockholm, and painted with acrylic paint, acrylic and ink mixed together.
What is it that sort of inspired you about the cityscapes in Stockholm? Did you go, geez, I have to paint that?
I think the colours and the shapes of them, and the way they sort of, the way they're organised here, everything's very neat and but very well looked after, and they've got a lot of nice details on them that make them quite interesting to paint.
Yep. We'll move over towards the paintings now because Molly has moved out of the way there. It'll be, and there's a number of fascinating pictures here. Is this the kind of work that takes a long time for you to produce, is it?
It's taken me a long time to build up my style. So when I lived in Dublin, or when I lived in Bray, I always painted there. So it's taken me a couple of maybe 10, 15 years to build up this style. So now that I paint them, I have my system, so it doesn't take that long, but it does take a while. It takes a bit of
I love the way you go, it takes 10, 15 years, and I go, holy Jesus, like that's like half a lifetime for you, yeah. Like yourself. You know?
To build up, I mean, I've painted since I was very young, so it just takes time to build up a style and go with it.
Well, what does painting give you? Is it the process of painting you enjoy? Is it the finished product? Is it the ideas? What is it?
It's all of it, really. Mostly I'm inspired by what I see every day, or like the cities I live in, the places that I go by, and then I suppose I'm trying to capture that essence of it, or that feeling that you get when you walk through the city. And what makes me want to paint, I guess I've always wanted to paint. Ever since I remember, I've always wanted to do art of some kind. So I guess it's just a continuation of that. Always doing art for all of my life.
Let's move out of the way here so people can see these. What was it that brought you here to Sweden? Was it the art?
Not necessarily. When I finished up in NCAD, I was doing my teaching master's, and I got the opportunity to come over here and teach art at a school here. So I came over and then stayed. I was going to originally stay 2 years, and now I'm here 3.5, almost 4 years. So.
And there's no getting out of here, basically, is there?
Probably not, no. Sure, who knows the future.
But do you feel comfortable here? Are you happy here? And you're happy with the work you get to do here and that kind of thing, yeah?
Yeah, I'm happy being here. I'm happy with a lot of things here. So yeah. I guess my time here is definitely not done.
Carrie and Sarah are already talking about another exhibition along these lines. What, like, you know, have you any seeds of thought for what you might like to do next with your art?
I think I would like to make them go bigger and in scale, make them a little bit larger, so that'll be my plan. Do something similar but make them a bit larger, and probably explore different parts of Stockholm a bit more as well. Get more variation in them.
And these works that you have here, they're for sale, are they?
Yes, they are.
So how can people go about buying your art if they want to get hold of them?
If they want, they can find my Instagram, Kieran Doyle Artist, or they can email me at kieranldoyle@gmail.com.
kieranldoyle@gmail.com.
Kieran L. Doyle.
Sorry, kieranldoyle@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or at Kieran Doyle Artist there on Instagram, and they'll find you.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's fantastic work altogether. It's a shame this is a podcast. I'd love to show everybody it, but they'll have to come down and see for themselves. For now, Kieran, thanks so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Kazi, I'm assuming these are photographs, given your reputation as a wonderful photographer.
Yeah, these are photographs I took about 3 months ago in Kilkenny.
In Kilkenny. And these are, the one closest to me here is Murmurations 2, so I'm guessing Murmurations 1 is over there.
Yeah. There are three photographs of murmurations. So my wife's sister had told me that they've been gathering every evening for the last sort of 3 months. And she just told me I need to go down and bring the camera. So that's what I did. And these were all taken in the space of about 25 minutes.
Were they, yeah? How hard is it? I mean, these are beautiful. And this is art, fine art photography. This isn't the usual thing that maybe you might take it to St. Patrick's Day Parade, as you've done for so many years. What's the process for you when you're doing these, making these photographs and editing them?
Well, to be honest with you, the hardest part was because there's very little contrast in them, because they were taken at very late in the day at dusk. The hardest part was actually increasing the contrast just to try and make it look not so much realistic, but just look like it felt on the day.
Yeah, trying to get the birds to stand out from the background
a little bit,
and that kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
Where does your interest in photography come from, Cassie? Because as long as I can remember living here in Sweden, you have been around with your camera at all the events that we've had, kind of thing.
Yeah. I started in school, when I was in school years and years and years ago. And then I stopped that once after college and life started to happen. And then it wasn't until the 2010 that I picked up a digital camera, and I joined a local camera club in Dublin. And that's when I kind of really picked up photography, I suppose, in a much more deep and meaningful way.
Yeah. And is it something that, you know, it's obviously something you enjoy doing, but I've been asking some of the artists here, what do you get out of it? Is the enjoyable part being out in the field taking the photographs, or in standing here looking at them with other people, or looking at them on your computer at home?
I'd have to say that it's the taking of them, thinking about them, taking of them, and, you know, trying to visualize what it is, what I can do with it, what can I make out of it. And I suppose try and find something to say with them.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, this is only the second exhibition I've ever done, so it's kind of, I'm more intimidated than anything else to be here.
Well, I suppose that's the thing. You kind of have to pop your cherry at some point, you know, and sort of get used to this, because you have so many brilliant photographs. Just your Facebook alone is full of wonderful photographs of people and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's the one thing that you would most like to take a picture of, do you think?
Now, I actually don't know. Because, I've been looking around for the right subject matter and stuff like that, but no, when I walk the dog, I wonder exactly that question.
There you go. But when you do find out, tell me, because I want to speak to you for the Irish and Sweden podcast again. But for now, thanks very much for talking to me, Cassie. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Philip.
We have the youngest exhibitor at Arrivals talking to us here now. Could you just present yourself to the Irish and Sweden podcast listeners? What's your name?
My name is Lee. I'm 17, and I'm in the second year of gymnasium here in Sweden.
Okay, so in a year and a half, you're going to be an adult and free from school.
Yeah, exactly. Finally.
Tell me, your painting has received an awful lot of attention here. You painted a whole bunch of sheep.
Yeah, exactly. It's my take on this sheep field in Uppsala, where I went in the summer. And there's just there's a lot of friendly sheep there, and, you know, they're just really cuddly, and I like to hang out with them. And I thought I'd paint it because it's nice.
Have you been painting for a long time, then?
I've been painting pretty much my whole life. I picked up acrylics maybe 5 years ago. Mm. But before that, I did a lot of watercolour.
And would you do a lot of painting? Like, is this one of many paintings that you have at home?
I think so. Yeah, I do quite a bit of painting. And also I do art in school now, so I do a lot of art. I paint a lot in school.
Where do the ideas come from? Is it just stuff that you see around you?
Mostly. From my head. Also, I did lots of, landscape for a while. So, nature and other things.
Yeah. And would you say you have a particular style or a particular kind of thing you like to do, or do you just do whatever comes into your head?
No, I think I'm kind of, discovering my style right now, trying different things.
Yeah.
But mostly, right now, I'm doing a lot of, expressionistic, people.
Super. And would you like to be an artist when you've left gymnasium in a year and a half's time? Would you like to continue studying art?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. I think I could do like graphic design or maybe architecture or something.
Well, if the reception for this picture of the sheep is anything to go by, you have a very promising future. And Liv, thank you very much for talking to me. Sarah, the poem has been said now. Can you relax at long last?
Yeah, I think so.
How has it been? Was it nervous getting up there and reading your poem?
Yeah, I was a bit nervous. I'm not too used to public speaking, and the poem was quite personal. So I was nervous, but I think it was my proudest moment throughout all of this, just to challenge myself to do that and, yeah, to be a bit vulnerable and share who I am with the community here tonight.
Is that something that you've been sort of doing lately? Because when you started playing camogie and football and that kind of thing, you were quite a quiet person, you're quite a private person normally, but you've sort of been doing more and more of these things in sort of the public eye lately. Is that sort of part of this whole arrivals thing, that this is Sarah Gallagher arriving in Sweden kind of thing?
Maybe, subconsciously, I don't know. I just feel like I just met the right group of people at the right time that I feel comfortable around, and that I'm comfortable sharing who I am with them, and I think it's just allowed me to grow and develop as a person, and I'd like to encourage other people to do that as well and feel like they have the same environment to grow in and the same support
and to be vulnerable in if they want to be as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and to share a bit of who we are. And I think the Ambassador Jones said tonight something about building bridges in relation to Carrie's work, and I do think a lot of bridges have been built tonight, and they'll only get stronger from here. Yeah,
I found it amazing.
I would challenge people to dare to cross those bridges.
That's the thing. I think it was part of the poem that you brought up as well. You know, when Carrie was talking about bridges and that, you know, you'd see parts of your life as being islands that nothing is connected. Yeah. And Carrie was remarking on that. And I found that this evening, like, because there's people that I know here. I know you in one way. I know others, like, you know, Pierce is in the corner over there in a completely different way. And yet everybody is sort of in one way part of the same thing, certainly here this evening, you know. So a huge thanks to yourself and Carrie for putting this together. And I'll be in touch tomorrow about the first podcast for the next exhibition.
Okay, thanks.